Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
And then, though, too, it's the Good Morning Football podcast. My name is Kay Adams. Hi, Peter Schrager.
Hi, Kay Adams. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Awesome. Kyle, how are you feeling about the Falcons and Pats?
We're keeping it on fleek. All day on fleek. That's not, no, I feel good. I feel good that we
finally. All day on fleek?
All day.
The
all
entire day.
All
is on
day.
Fleek.
All day. Er day.
Kyle, you're 38 now. Fleek.
Isn't that crazy?
Fleek can't happen.
No, I should. There's a cutoff on there. Like, you can't wear a beer can helmet. You can't do a beer funnel. And you can't talk about on fleek when you're 38.
What else can't you do when you're 38?
That's a good question for Twitter. The beer can helmet. I remember I used to do a beer funnel all the time too when
you
I was in
do
college.
A funnel. I think funnel's ageless.
I don't know about that.
If someone showed up and you're at a backyard barbecue,
go on.
And brought a funnel and said, "Hey, you want to funnel one beer?" You'd be like, "I can't. I'm 38."
I would go do it, but I would feel like
it goes against
an
years
a-hole.
Of tailgating with your parents at college. And you see all of those like
right.
Salt and pepper, wonderful men in their golf shirts just taking it down.
You're right. I'll probably still do it. Yeah. I'll put some Everclear in.
Hi, Nate.
What's up, Kay?
How you doing?
I'm good. Can't complain.
Here's the deal.
What's up?
You were talking into microphones right now like we're about to record a song. You, in fact, recorded a song this past weekend.
I did. I went to L.A. I took a flight right after the show, and I linked up with Mike Studd, who was a recording artist. He actually was a Duke baseball player. All-American, and then went into music after he left college.
Diehard New England fan.
Yeah, diehard New England fan. He linked up with Marcus Stroman, who is the pitcher for the Blue Jays, and they got this track called Shine, and they wanted me on the remix. So
and
I went
up
there
and recorded. Did you spit bars about Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, and Kay Adams?
That's going to be on the next hit single.
And is that a country song, Nate? What kind of music are
it's,
we talking about?
It's kind of. It's rap.
Okay, rap. I like it.
We'll call that one Outshine.
Outshine. Oh, I like
okay.
that. I like
See,
that.
I got
Shine
you.
Out. So yeah,
wait,
so coming
you go
soon.
Out there, you're in like a recording studio. I'm picturing like, Dr. Dre and, you know.
We had an engineer in there.
Really?
We had Mike Studd in there, and he's like, yeah, say that one again, double up again. How about we do some ad-libs?
First time you've done
relax
this or
a little
no?
Bit. Nah, I've recorded in the studio before. So, you know, it was something that I enjoyed doing. I mean, you want me to give y'all a little sample of the verse?
Are you kidding me? Let's
okay,
go.
I mean, this is the podcast. This is exclusive.
Is
so,
Mike
I mean,
Studd okay with this legally?
No, you know. Do you do this a cappella, Nate? You need a beat? Like, how does it work?
No. I'll do it a cappella. You right, know what I'm saying? So it's basically, the song is called Shine. So okay. my verse comes in like this. We're not here to play the game. We're about to chalk it out. First, we silence the critics, then give them something to talk about. Yeah. It's been a long time coming. This is a victory lap. We spent a long time running. On and off the field, I've been closing out them deals. Man, no need to copycats when I've been cloning dollar bills. Facts. And we just getting started. Cheat code. The game is fixed. We going to win regardless. See, y'all didn't want to listen when I told you I was ready. Now I'm flying in the jetty, putting truffles on spaghetti. Ooh! So make your next move your best move. Who going to check us when we out here making chess moves? Exquisite things for kings and queens. Sleepwalking wide awake. These is dreams. You see the bright lights come with the highlights. And you know we going to ball when the time right. So that's it. It's a little something, man.
Nate, this is fantastic. My question, do you have the audio track first and you rap to it, or do you have those bars and then you adjust to the song?
No, so I heard the song, and I reached out to him, and I was like, you know, we talked about us doing a song together. This is the one. He said, yes, we would love to have you on a song. So from there, I listened to the beat over and over again, and I just recite in my head until I memorize the whole thing. So I don't really write things down. I just kind of recite it until I memorize
Nate, so
the whole verse.
So many athletes want to be rappers. So many rappers want to be athletes.
You're right.
When the athletes do it a lot of times, it doesn't go great. And
it
goes out and it gets mocked and everyone makes fun of it. You know, I mean, Kobe was out there rapping.
Kobe.
Shaq. And Shaq
Ricky Waters.
Ricky Waters. So when you do that and you're going to put it out and it's going to be
I'm open for it. And
Are you making you nervous?
Yeah. I'm almost waiting for it. And there's things that I've done in the past playing around and it's leaked out to the public. And the first thing fans do because the history of athletes rapping, they say, oh, it's terrible. I don't even want to listen. It's terrible. The one thing about me and rap is I didn't like wake up wanting to be a rapper. I just fell in love with hip hop when I was very young, and I fell in love with poetry when I was in high school. So I've been writing poetry all my life, and it's a little bit of therapy, but it's also a way for me to kind of show my creative juices. I feel like I'm doing something artistic when I'm writing poetry. It just so happens that for me, poetry and rap are the same thing. So I'm excited about the verse and the song that and you know and what happens when it comes out and how it'll be received. But at the end of the day, I'm just trying to do whatever it is I can do to be creative.
Cause I hear you.
I have so many. It's like you, KB. You know, it's like you, Pete. Like, if we put ourselves in a box, then we just be doing one show.
Well, that's the thing.
But we all do so many different things because we love so many different
things.
That's
what I love. I mean, we do 5 days of shows. I flew out to L.A. also for a work thing. And Nate says, I'm going out to L.A. also. Why? Because I'm going to go, you know, record a single. And then gets in the studio that day, records it, and it's because it's a passion, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
a passion.
That's interesting to me.
And we're working with KB, who's an actor, right?
That's right.
Did a little bit of everything. So I love that, you know, we all love football, but there's so many more levels to
it's
what
the best,
we do.
Man. We couldn't do it if it was just football.
Yeah, so what did Mike Studd say? Like, was he happy with
it?
Yeah,
he was happy.
Was he going to say he was happy no matter what?
Like, no, because he came out to New York with a group of people, and he was like, yo, what's up? You got the verse ready? And I was like, yeah. I was like, okay, before we start drinking, because we were downtown at Catch, and I was like, it's going to be a long night. I was like, before you start drinking, you need to hear this verse so you can give me your honest opinion. And I started spitting halfway through. He's like, you ain't got to say no more. We're good. Just let me know when you're on the court.
No way. What a vote of confidence.
Yeah. You know, I went in there humble. I'm like, look, I'm a football player. You know, I've rapped before, but let me know how you feel. He said, Nate, I've had a lot of rappers come here. A lot of athletes try to come here and do this rapping thing. And, yeah, he's like, you got it. You're good.
Okay, so my last question on this, because I'm fascinated by it, is it – this sounds so – okay, I know I'm the white guy in my 30s talking. Does it come out on an album? Is it going to be leaked
his next album,
on Twitter? Like, where do things get launched now?
Yeah, his next album is going to drop this year. He had an album drop about a year and a half, 2 years
ago.
He's
on a label and everything?
He's an independent artist.
Okay.
And he just got done with a reality show that was, I want to say, maybe on Bravo – really big, toured all over the world.
This is Mike Studd.
Mike Studd has a crazy following. Like, if you look at his Twitter following, people love him. Girls love him. He's like,
you found him on Twitter?
If I could describe him how somebody, he's like a little bit more lyrical white Drake. So he has a melodic tone to him. He can, like, rap, like, spit bars.
He's
like
a white guy?
White dude.
Okay.
And he's uber talented. So this remix is going to come out. And what I wanted to do is premiere it on our show once the Super Bowl ends. So you know how they do the highlight package of, like, all the plays?
Best clips.
And I want to do that for either the Super Bowl or the season. When we do our season wrap-up.
Look back in the season.
Just 3 minutes of this song. It's called Shine.
Shine,
and the song's applicable because it's all about, like, just shining in the right
moment. I want Julio in the Tampa Bay on the tippy toes making that play.
Right.
Exactly. I want that with your song behind
it. Is there a chorus or is it verses? How does it work?
It's like, put the bright lights on, I'll shine on them. Put them bright lights on. Put them bright lights on. This is my moment. Do it one time for the boy. So that's what it is. It's kind of like shining.
You know what, Nate? I remember sometimes we talk about making the band when they did rap, you know, and it was P. Diddy and Bad Boy, and they had them all in the house, and it was Chopper and all those guys. Wow, K just said something down really cool in front of me. It's really shiny. It might be a bottle full of adult spirits. but no, just to finish the thought, I remember one time they went in the recording booth, and they were all doing and rapping and rhyming and stuff, and Diddy came in to listen to it, and they're like, this is it. They're going to listen to it. He's going to give us our record deal. This is going to be it. And then it was just them, like, rapping for, like, 20 minutes. And I remember Diddy's like, you got to have a chorus. Without a chorus, you don't have a song. Otherwise, it's just a rap.
Yeah.
So you're saying Shine has a chorus.
It has a song.
It
has a real catchy chorus. So you guys are going to like it, man. It's a really, really fun track. And I think it's going to make its way as, like, the summer anthem.
You're going that way.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, so it's fun. But there's one small couple of lines in there that applies to, like, my life and what we do on the show. And I think how we all kind of look at things. And I say, sleepwalking wide awake, these is dreams. Because, like, you know, I wake up every day, and it's early in the morning. Yeah, not everything we do is easy. Because I feel like we all got individual grinds, families, and different jobs. But, like, we are sleepwalking wide awake. Like, we're living the dream. We got a show in Manhattan. We get paid well. We got roof over our head, clothes on our back. And I enjoy working with you guys. So, like, we're living the dream. Like, some people have to go to sleep to dream. We wake up and we have it every day.
Shine.
Shine.
I love it. The best part about your story, and the song is going to be amazing, all that, is you tell me and Kay when we're on set that, oh, yeah, I also went to Vegas afterwards. So can you finish your weekend up for us?
So that was a long day.
Imagine if you talk about a weekend and don't even include that you went to Vegas that weekend.
So that pretty much says exactly what happened in Vegas. So I went to bed around 2-3 in the morning. I was up for 24 hours.
Having been up since 3 a.m.
Right. So in West Coast time,
yes,
1 a.m.
24
right?
plus.
So 24 plus. And I don't sleep in for some reason.
Nuts.
I didn't close the curtains, so I wake up early. I should have slept. I probably would have had more juice for Vegas. I leave to go to Vegas around 6 o'clock.
Wait. Is it in the plans you're going to Vegas?
No, it was kind of last minute. But one of the guys that came on the show, you guys remember him. His name was John. He had a friend with him.
Is this Vanilla Gorilla?
No. This is a different guy. All right. He had
my boy.
Yeah, John. He's one of my guys. He's like, Nate, let's go to Vegas. I'm like, cool. He books two tickets, books the hotel.
And you're sitting at the Southwest gate? Like,
and
what
I'm
are
like,
we doing
I'm
here?
Like, all right, I got you. How much do you need? He's like, Nate, come on, man. Don't worry about it. Like, it's one good to have friends that do big things.
Don't worry about it.
So then I get there, and I'm like, all right, cool. Let me go recharge my
batteries. You land
at
McCarran Airport.
I'm hurting, yeah. Limo comes, picks us up.
Limo.
Like a 24-seater. So he's like, it's going down. And I got a whole different group of guys that are party animals that are celebrating a birthday. So I'm like, all right, cool. It's perfect. My little brother is down there at a wedding, but I didn't even know. So I'm like, I'm going to get everybody together. It's going to be a crazy night. Then I'm going to fly back to New York.
I'm having anxiety even thinking about this.
Listen, I get there. I lay in the bed. I'm like, all right, it's 8 o'clock. I'm asleep for about an hour, shower, and then I'll be good to go around 11.
Saturday, I lay down. This is Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. I lay down at 8:45 p.m. I wake up. It's 11:40.
Moment of truth.
Moment of truth.
That shower's right there. Yeah. It's a ticket out.
My chest is hurting. Yeah. It felt like, you remember The Matrix when they pulled the plug out? That's how I felt like.
And he's in all that goo and that pod.
Yeah, I felt like, man. I just pulled the plug out of me.
Muscles have atrophied.
Did you not do it? You stayed home?
So I'm looking. My guy comes knocking on the door. John, he's like, yo, what's up, bro? Are you ready? Josh is calling me. Yo, what's up? No. It's going down. We're headed to the club.
Of course.
Nobody's here.
Yeah, I'm like, give me a second, man. I just waking up. I'm hopping in the shower. I pick out my clothes, hop in the shower, get dressed. I'm like, Nate, just lay down.
You're dressed.
Just lay down, Nate. Lay down. I got my chains on. Watch. I'm feeling good. John's like, I'll be downstairs gambling. Wake me up. Or come get me when you come downstairs. I'm like, cool. I look at myself in the mirror.
There's nothing better than that bed.
I said, there's nothing better than this bed. And here's
but
the
you're
thing.
Already dressed. I disagree with your entire story. If I'm dressed and I've picked out what I'm wearing
but
and I'm showered and
my body,
I'm shocked it went this way.
My body was so fatigued. And here's the thing.
This is M. Night Shyamalan. I cannot believe the twist in this.
Yeah, me too.
I thought when you hit the shower, it's over. You're out.
You're done.
But
you're
so
committed.
Then
ends up with Lady Gaga in the club. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So 6:11 is my flight time. I changed it.
6 a.m.?
So you'd have to go straight to the airport.
But I changed it to 6 a.m. for some reason about 24 hours prior because I thought to myself, I need to wake up early. And I was going to get home at 2. I wanted to watch the game with my kids, with my wife. And I thought to myself, I could either stumble to the airport, hammered, hungover.
Like with everyone else.
Yep, with everyone else. Hurting on the plane and then basically sleeping throughout the day and not watching these games. Or I can walk on the plane completely sober, show up real rested, have fun with my family, and enjoy Sunday football with the Burlesons. And I decided to do the letter.
Mm. Well, you're making everybody that goes to Vegas feel bad.
And I was talking to Kyle. And Kyle was like, sounds like maturity. You're mature.
You're a good
man. And all grown up.
And all grown up. And it was one of those moments. And I've done this before, but I think this was more, it was more about coming home Sunday the right way. Mm. And I wanted to come home, you know, with a clear mind and enjoy Sunday football. And on top of that, I had to be aware of the game so I can talk about them with intelligence on
when
TV.
You come home on Sunday, you're on. It's not like you're when you're 23 and you go and you order the pizza and leave the door open so the pizza man can walk in.
I can't
your
shut
house.
My family out. I can't
no,
shut
you
my family
out. You got to be on. Yeah. I get that, man. Yeah. You got to show up in shape.
Yeah.
Hear that, Traeger?
I know.
We're taking notes. Okay.
I'll give you really quickly my weekend. After the show, I flew out to Los Angeles. I was working an event for Fox called the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. So you have your Senior Bowl, you have your East West Shrine Game Bowl, and then there's this other event, which Nate found pretty interesting. All ex-players were the coaches, and they're being contracted out by the NFLPA. So it's
who we got. So give me the name.
John Kitna.
God bless.
TJ Houshmandzadeh. Torrey Holt. Andre Reed. Antonio Pierce. Jackie Slater. These were the coaching staffs, and these guys were the kids who weren't invited to the East-West
That's
or the Senior
cool.
Bowl. It's great. So my role, having no knowledge of these kids, we're talking about Tariq Cohen, the running back at NC A&T, or you know, Joel Klatt and Joe Davis called it, and they were like studying these players for weeks.
They know them.
They know all of them. Yeah. They know their hip swivel, their numbers, their measurements. I don't know anything, but my job was to interview the people on the sideline. So that was very cool. I interviewed Andre Reed, interviewed Torrey Holt, interviewed Marquette King, who was at the event because they discovered him from Fort Valley State.
Oh, that's why he went?
That's
he played
why
in
he
that
went.
Game.
He's an alumnus.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was discovered by scouts from playing in that game.
Wow.
So it was pretty cool. But similar, I took a red eye home and walked in my door at 9 a.m. on Sunday, and my wife, a saint, let me sleep for 4 hours. So I got 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I'm waking up, and I see Bradshaw and Howie Long and Strahan doing the pregame show, and I'm good to go, and I was ready. But your body, awesome. Your body works in mysterious ways.
It'll talk to you.
It'll talk to you.
It'll shut you down. I don't understand how you guys take these flights across the country. When we go to Houston next week and we get there, I'm going to need – bye, guys.
Really? Because I'm going out.
Right when we get there?
Tuesday night, I will –
All right, let's do it.
I will go out.
We got to
do
it.
Why are you so sure about that?
Because the bird is out of the cage.
I spread them wings, baby.
Because I need to live.
I feel you.
Because I am in bed every single night of my life by 9 o'clock.
Right. Putting truffles on spaghetti.
Putting truffles on spaghetti, you know, on fleek. No, but in truth.
I'm a peacock.
In truth, it's just, I love. Gotta let me fly. And we'll talk about it, okay? Because you made a great point in the show this week that, like, you can't be a rookie at Super Bowl. You can't go guns blazing Monday night when there's three people in town.
But then again, we're rookies together at Super Bowl, so we can act reckless.
We're on a new team. You're right. Exactly. Right.
I just find it a fun event when there's people, like, I don't get to see everyone of all course. The time. And it's like the NFL world converges, so I don't want to waste a minute sitting at home, you know, reading a book.
Wow.
We'll what about see you? About
the, I don't know if I'm going out or not. This is my 10th Super Bowl that I've been to, and I never go out. We always stay in. So
what's Jim Rome's rule?
It's a business trip. It's a business trip. We stay in. We get our work done.
We got to do some of it together.
Trust me, I'll let it go a little bit. Yeah. You know, I got a little bit. Yeah.
Listen, I left in the middle of this podcast. Guys, there's an app. Open this. There's an app where you can order alcohol online.
Really?
This kid just delivered it on a bike. Didn't ask me for my ID. Didn't have, like, what? High school kids have it so easy these days.
Oh, my God.
Is that all that they have to do?
Well, I think you got to have some type of clarification, right?
There's nothing. No. What do you mean?
You got a credit card, I guess that's all you need.
It's just like any website that says, are you 18 or older?
So when Kay's talking about it, she sent a very shiny package down in front of me. It's my 38th birthday. It looks like a bottle. I'm just hoping if I shake it, I hope that it's like a really bright turquoise blue bottle. That's what I'm hoping. I'm going to be so disappointed. Ooh,
yeah!
Ginning is winning. That's right. Bombay Sapphire, my favorite distilled spirit. Kate, this is awesome.
Are you sure you don't want, you're not a Tanqueray guy?
No.
I couldn't.
I respect the Tank 10. Good. I respect all of them, but this is my girl right here.
Time.
All I do is gin. This is my one.
Enjoy.
Oh, thank you.
Enjoy her.
Ted Gin.
Thank you.
Ted Gin down the sideline.
Ted Gin down the sideline. This is awesome, Kate.
We love
thank you,
Kyle.
Friday afternoon, I will be tapping with us. We hope you
had a nice day with us today.
We did. Super nice. Yeah. I had a cake. We had everything. It was fun.
Should we get into it.
Do
you have a story for us?
Nah, let's get into it.
Traeger, are you ridiculously so excited about the Falcons
proud.
Being in the Super Bowl?
Your Falcons?
Proud.
Are you a proud father?
Proud.
Are you not a fan of the flight squad?
I'm not a fan of the Falcons, but I'm proud of the Falcons because forget me in the equation because I went out on a limb early on in this thing. I was like, oh, they're the team to watch. And, you know, on Twitter, I get a lot of, hey, thanks for being with us. I'm not a fan.
You can't be a fan because you're capital J or what?
No, not because of the journalism. I trusted my eyes when I saw them, and I've been around the league enough where I feel like, okay, this team is a little different than others. Like, I was around the Broncos last year late in the season. I'm like, oh, they've got something. And years ago, I remember when it was the Cardinals went on that crazy run in the playoffs and got to the Super Bowl. I was like, all right, this team's got something
special. Can you define it?
I don't know what it is. It's a certain confidence and an excitement amongst the players. So I was around them week 12, week 13, and week 16, and then again divisional rounds. So I've done them a lot towards the end of the season. And to see them on a national stage 2 weeks in a row, like, fulfill what I expect and not let me down, I'm proud. Not of myself, but of them, because I think they've been hearing, yeah, but, for the entire season, and that franchise as a whole has been a real yeah, but franchise. And the key word that you've always heard is soft. Mm-hmm. Like, they're soft. The Falcons, they've always got, you know, Matt Ryan's the sweetest guy, and Dan Quinn's a nice guy.
Finesse.
I mean, who doesn't love Matt Ryan? How can you not love Matt Ryan?
Can you love Matt Ryan, or are you just blah on Matt Ryan?
He's vanilla granola.
So vanilla.
Are you seen that way?
Me? Right. I remember. No, he is. He is. Matt Ryan is the guy who is just the super nice Boston College, says all the right things, no controversy.
Like, you move in with him in his building, and you don't know him that well, but you don't know anybody in that city.
Nice
You're
guy.
Giving him the spare key.
Yeah, what's up? You're Matt, right? Can you
He's
help me get on this couch?
Spare key,
no problem.
You ask him to help you move?
Can you water my plants? Right? Can you feed my cat?
He'll do all that stuff for you.
And Brady's a killer, right? Like, Brady, as much as he's like the suave guy, you know, when it comes down to it, he's an assassin.
Yeah.
Ryan, to me, has got all the skills in the world. He just hasn't done it yet. And once he does it, I think we won't think of him as Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. All Shucks. Like,
he can have it all, be a nice guy with a ring.
Maybe. And Kay, you said it last week. It was less than 4 months ago. We did an interview with Matt Ryan, and he was talking about what kind of yogurt he liked. You don't ask, you know, a lot of killers. You don't ask a lot of guys who are, you know, cutthroat competitors.
And the answer is probably vanilla.
You know, and I like, you know, black cherry. You wouldn't even think to ask. Right. It's like embarrassing. But he's such a nice guy, and he's so engaging. So long story short, the Falcons just demoralized the Packers. And I felt like all week I was – saying that on air, that they were going to light it up and light it up, and then for them
but
to actually
do it.
You
still don't see Brian as an assassin, and you just took out the, like, the baddest guy.
Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And still, because he's
a nice guy.
He's such
That's
a nice
it.
Guy.
I keep
Is it okay
this.
To have a nice guy? Like, Cam Newton That's was dabbing question. All over the place and right. taking selfies, and he was a cool guy. Cam Newton never comes off as, you know, Mr., you know, everyone can wrap their arms around him. Matt sure. Ryan, I feel like if you're an average fan walking down the street, you can have a 20-minute conversation with Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's as much as we talk about the quarterbacks, what I keep saying is I was shocked, and I don't get shocked by much. I was shocked with the Falcons' defense did Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that was – if we all talked about it, 43, 41. If we would have said the Packers go to halftime with zero, it's ridiculous. None of us would have said they'd have less than 18 points.
I thought
points.
I was drunk at halftime.
Wasn't
at
that ridiculous? And then, I mean, that hit that I think was Poole Oof. Had on Aaron Rodgers,
Oof.
I said, get Brett Hendley up. Like, he is coming in the game. There's no way Rodgers gets up from that hit. It was like a
UFC
hit.
If Rapkowski doesn't fumble on the 1 yard line, they're down 10-0 early. Is this a totally different game, though? That's what I think. I think we're going nuts on it. It was 31-0.
By the way the game ended, I say no.
Didn't matter.
I don't think it was their day.
It wasn't their day. You know, you did something on the show. You talked about Thomas Dimitroff, right, and him being the boss, but, you know, delegating and finding and outsourcing and getting
Such
other bosses.
Such a great story, Schrager. I didn't know
it was,
that.
It was fantastic because, you know, like I know you've seen, you know, owners, GMs, head coaches, they get in a position and then they say, okay, I'm getting all the money. I want all the praise, so I'm going to make all the decisions. And oftentimes they sink with that ship. Because they can't handle it. I mean, look at Chip Kelly more recently. You know, he had to understand the hard way. No, I need to get people around me that know more than me.
And be willing to get – they might get more credit.
And be willing to swallow my ego. Like you said, that was a word that you used. And then, you know, I go from the front office to the sideline. And look at Dan Quinn and what he was able to do in Seattle. Having, at that time, the best defense in the NFL. Just back to back. Just a very – dominating, a bully of a defense, game in and game out. And oftentimes when coaches fall from a certain tree and they go somewhere else, there's not an impact they have immediately. It takes so long or it never takes. And we reference the tree of all these coaches and where they came from, but we don't say that what they've done actually changed. Dan Quinn went to Atlanta, and he's a defensive guy. He said, okay, I'm going to try to make this defense similar to what Seattle was. I don't know if he necessarily got to that point, but they're still a really good defense. Underrated, in my opinion. Underappreciated, in our words, on the show. But what he did more importantly is he said, I'm going to go with a guy on the offensive side of the ball that can help this a little bit above average offense.
And might get more praise than I ever get.
And he has. Kyle Shanahan has came in and kind of stolen the thunder a little bit because, I mean, he's been talked about in all these head coaches at vacancy.
He gets talked more about than Quinn.
He does.
You're right.
And Dan Quinn said, I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. Listen, I know what I came here for, and that's to help this team become dominant, but I knew I needed an offensive coordinator to come in and make calls. And I can appreciate that because he was brought in, and I think same as Dimitroff, he said, okay, I'm going to take a page out of your book. I'm going to bring in other people. I'm going to bring in other bosses. I'm bringing other minds, beautiful minds, and pay them well, and that will allow us to have success. So I love the Falcons, and I love what they've done.
To piggyback off that, the guy who embodies that more than anybody is Mr. Julio Jones. He's completely fine with Sanu getting all the looks, or Gabriel. Yeah. He's never complained about the ball. When he wants the ball, he wants the ball. But for a number one,
it
an alpha.
It is the same thing. It's the ego thing.
For an alpha like that guy,
yeah.
who might be the greatest in the league, to have 35 yards or less in four games, as Kay said today on the show, that was a mind-boggling thing. And you not hear him chirping about it and bitching about it and doing all of that, that shows you a guy who's not only competent and knows the game, but confident in his own security that, hey, I will get mine at some point.
And committed to the long-term goal.
And for the better point, we're going to win.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw, Aditi had a report on NFL Network earlier this week at one of the night shows, I think Total Access, where she was talking about Antonio Brown on a play when D'Angelo Williams ran it in. He almost looked defeated and, like, sulking. It's a pretty interesting story where he didn't get the ball and Big Ben had to go talk to him on the sideline. And it's like, as much as we love Antonio Brown, like, if maybe, you know, like, that's the kind of stuff you don't want to deal with is the numbers and the
Absolutely.
Ego. And the brand awareness
brand.
And stuff like that.
Hashtag
that
brand.
Definitely not Julio Jones.
Remember when LeGarrette Blount scored the 1 yard touchdown? They cut to Brady in that game and he was freaking out, like fist pumping.
So
yes, yes, yes. Like he didn't run it in. But I didn't hear that Antonio Brown thing. That's interesting.
Yeah, Aditi had that to
say. I gotta check that out.
Very interesting. I don't know, because you guys were talking about the Falcons. Nobody's talking about the Patriots. I think you guys are out of your minds.
I know. Our show is rare in that fact, because I feel like now people are getting aboard the Falcons, and we've been driving the Falcons bus. So now it's the Patriots, and it's like, to me, Kay, I'll be honest. I know I'm going to get killed from New England. I'm just kind of fatigued by it. Like, it's the same team. It's the same guys. I know there's different players.
Do you remember being fatigued? Like, did you have Jordan fatigue in the 90s? Like, the six championships in 8 years. I didn't either, but I'm from Chicago. I'm asking somebody outside.
No,
Nate, you said
because there was always a new contender. Like, they never repeated.
Yeah, Kobe fatigue.
So was there with the Patriots, though, too, right?
There was Kobe fatigue.
For sure there's Kobe fatigue.
Was there?
But some of that was Kobe's personality and his off the court stuff, you know. But you're saying Patriots fatigue because I don't
have
it at all. I
love
it
to like the new shiny thing, Peter. And like you don't like building. You don't like Home Depot. You built the bus that drives the hype train for the Falcons, and you've definitely influenced, I think, the four of us, and we're on board with you. Like, I don't even, what week was it that we're talking about the basketball story?
That was like week 11.
Week 11, right? Yeah. And we were all. I mean, it's so alluring. And I understand the fatigue.
It's a shiny object. It's new.
Of course. But it's still the Patriots. Like,
on this show, on GMFB, we talked about it. We talked about the Patriots. We talked about underappreciated storylines. And on more than one occasion, we've talked about the Patriots' success and even Tom Brady. And we try to remind the football world, okay, we might be fatigued a little bit by the success of this organization. We might even be fatigued by Tom Brady seeming like he's
breaking records.
It's the
best storyline out there, Tom
Brady.
What's the best story?
Them doing it again, him getting five, him getting more than anybody in NFL history.
I think they don't get enough
credit.
Him getting one after being suspended, that's the best story you can have, right?
I think they don't get enough credit. And I'm upset that Bill Belichick doesn't get consideration for Coach of the Year. They just write him off because, oh, they're good again. And you got to have these circumstances. Or you're a new coach, you got a new guy, your quarterback goes down. All these different things and all these different reasons why they give it to different coaches, different places. But like, why couldn't you give it to Bill Belichick? Why couldn't you give him Coach of the Year when he had Garoppolo and Brissett out there?
Loses Gronk.
That's fine.
Loses Gronk. Like,
let's leave Coach
I'm mad
of the
about
year.
That.
That's fine. Can the Falcons beat the Patriots?
Yes, 100%.
And you guys are, this is going to be like a close game in your opinion?
We're recording this on Tuesday before Super Bowl week, and I think without a doubt I'm taking the Falcons to win this game.
You know what's funny? We had Eric Coleman on the show today, and we asked him who you like in the game. He's like, yeah, I got to think about it for a little while. I don't know. I just got my time. Monday morning, we were already calling our shot, and Kay and I were talking about the Patriots, and Peter was all about the Falcons. To me, this was easy. The second the Patriots won, I'm like, oh, they're winning this whole thing.
So, to you, because you and I were looking at an article online today, Dan Shaughnessy's article.
The Boston Globe.
And
this
was
a great – I laughed my ass off.
What?
So, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Hammer, has written for the Boston Globe forever. I didn't even read the whole thing. I didn't need to. His headline was basically like, getting ready for a Super Bowl against Atlanta. And his point, like, how can we get fired up to play Atlanta? It's not like we're beating Dallas or Green Bay, Rodgers, the Cowboys.
Oh, that
was his
good.
Tone?
It was hilarious. It was tone, and this is a very Dan Shaughnessy thing.
The Falcons aren't good enough to beat?
Yeah, I think it's like, it's not necessarily even the team. It's like the market and the prestige.
Just,
and like,
he said
he
the word,
putting them
the
down.
Word was meh.
Yeah, he's like, the Falcons, M-E-H, meh. And I laughed at it because it's such a, you know, a quote-unquote
as much as we're hyping up Atlanta, yes. There really isn't much history or tradition in the rivalry or in the team. As much as we like
the rivalry and the team is not sexy, but this team itself, the players, I think
that
are extremely
sexy. As hell.
Exactly right.
There's
just
not
that
a
in
sexier
Green Bay,
offense. And I'll be,
it was NC-17.
I think the Patriots have a good chance to win it based off of experience and coaching and all of that. But they're so boring.
The Patriots?
Yes. They're so
they're running
that,
flea flickers
tell
and stuff.
Me that,
though.
No, yeah. I think it's a boring offense. I think it's a boring team.
It's funny. So I don't think they're so
closed up.
I don't think
that's
so anymore.
The fatigue that I have.
You're right.
I don't think they're boring as much as they used to be. Initially, a week ago, I said it was before the championship round of games, I said that it's gonna be the Falcons versus the Patriots. And now
was that your gut?
That was my gut. And I said that the Falcons will beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Now that we're here, there's a little bit of me that's swaying because of the experience and the genius and the play calling defensively and offensively of the Patriots. I don't know. Maybe I'll make a different decision. My gut usually tells me one thing closer to the game, so I'll see what happens then. Either way, I do feel like it's going to be the best game of the postseason. It could be one of the better Super Bowls of all time. And to get back to the Falcons being meh and people kind of not being excited about this game, I've been there before. As an athlete, not making the postseason or not making it to the Super Bowl, and then having my own Super Bowl party at my house, and I'm like, these two teams or whatever. Uh-huh. But I'm always entertained. It's the Super Bowl. Like, yeah, we're spoiled because we want the ultimate storyline, the ultimate rivalry,
Brady versus Rodgers,
the ultimate
awesome.
History. We want all that. But you're not going to get that every year. And the reason you didn't get it this year is because the two best teams made it. So I just say shut up and enjoy some great football. For all the fans that are saying, well, I'm tired of seeing the Patriots, or who are the Falcons? No, listen, just break down the numbers. Look at what these teams have done to get here and appreciate that this is going to be very entertaining.
Kyle,
entertaining.
I don't care who wins it all. I just want a great game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Kyle, does it feel a little bit like Broncos, Falcons, or Chargers, 49ers, where you've got this amazing team, amazing quarterback, and then some kind of team that just like backed its way in?
Like, who is this? Yes, yeah. You're right.
Remember Chicago Indy? Like,
yeah,
it was
Rex
Grossman.
Versus Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but
you're
Chicago
right.
was, like, I believe, the one seed in that one.
But it was Rex Grossman.
This team, no, you're Atlanta,
right.
is
and Rex came out with me. He's a friend of mine.
What do you mean?
They've
got the best wide receiver in the league.
I know. I just feel like the San Diego Stan Humphreys, they shock the Steelers,
right.
And they get in, and it's like, all right, they have no shot. Like, this, from a franchise thing, the Broncos were the Broncos, and then they came in, and the Falcons, you knew the Falcons, even though they were 15-1 and the Dirty Bird and all
that.
The
Broncos
team. Does this – and I think the Patriots versus the Panthers was another example of that. Like, it's like the Panthers? And that was actually a great game.
The Jake Delhomme Panthers.
Yeah, and I was like, that's actually a great game. But this one, it has a little bit of that feel like everyone's talking – like, in their heads, it's Patriots, and then, okay, I mean, all right, the Falcons? All right, fine. That's the NFC's team? All right, but back to the Patriots.
Yeah, but I think those people – and I used to be one of them. I'm a convert. I used to get caught up in the Falcons' reputation and what they haven't done and that all those teams in the past, and they got their ass kicked by the Broncos in the Super Bowl – I've converted. This is not those Falcons. This is not the boring Atlanta team that never wins anything. They have the best offense. They have incredible players. They have the best receiver. If you're still thinking that Atlanta is bland and they're just going to show up and get their ass kicked by the Patriots, I guarantee you have not watched them play.
I also think if you have sort of have to have short-term memory when it comes to the defense of the Falcons. If you look at what they were doing through, what, like week 10?
You're right.
You think they're a bad defense. They're really not. And what they did this past week against Aaron Rodgers, that's the short-term memory that we need to have about this defense and that play calling and this one up against Brady.
And all the points they gave up in those games were like garbage time. So, you know, the I got killed on Pro Football Focus a couple weeks ago because I went on Colin Cowherd, and I was like, they've got one of the best defenses in the league, and you wouldn't know it by the numbers because in the fourth quarter they give up garbage touchdowns when they're up
there. You don't
want to
mess with Pro Football Focus. They know their numbers.
And the stat guys came at me, and they're like, they've got the 27th ranked, you know, scoring defense. And I go, I wrote back to one of them. I said, do
an
analysis.
Hey, Poindexter,
get out of the bay. Hey, Collinsworth. And I said, hey, look at the analysis of the – and then one of them got back at me. I think his name was Scott Karasik. I don't know. He's on PFF. He's like, you actually make a good point against the Niners and the Rams. They go up 14 points in the fourth quarter. Like, that's what it is. The Packers were down 31-0. That's the important fact. The fact that the Packers ended up scoring how many points they did not matter.
They had to. They're just
it was garbage.
It. Right.
You know the thing we've talked about, too, with this game, the tradition at K9, I know you've been into it, of the number one offense versus the number one defense. And I remember we talked about this game a lot, that AFC Championship last year, Patriots-Broncos, and I was working for Rome at the time, and we did a thing on the pregame show where we need to, like, make our pick, like, who are we going to throw in with? And, yeah, we're discussing it, like, you know, who do we like? You know, he was asking for my input. And I'm like, you know, this Broncos defense is not a joke. In this number one defense, you don't mess with them, they're at home. And he was sticking to the Patriots. And there's a tendency to do that because you see Brady and you see Belichick and they're so good and they had Gronk then. It's like, let's just ride the Patriots. They're the best coach. They're the best quarterback. It doesn't work that way. That number one defense thing is not a joke.
But
and
that
this
Broncos
time,
defense,
they're the number defense.
No, that Broncos defense, you cannot compare last year's Broncos defense to this year's Patriots defense.
Well, statistically, right?
I mean, ranking them in context.
No, like Von Miller was like a machine. Right. But the idea that in
they don't have a shutdown. They don't have a shutdown defense.
No, it's not apples to apples. I'm just saying, when you pick this game, I've learned go with the number one defense. It's another reason why I like they have the best
five
quarterback
of the
ever.
Last six between first number one scoring.
And it's sort of nerdy and sort of PFF, but it's true. It works.
I would almost say you go with Belichick is what you're saying. You go with a game plan of the defense. You go with the brain of Belichick, who's a defensive mastermind with Matt Patricia, over the amazing brain of Kyle Shanahan. Like, there's a chess match at play here. Wade Phillips got the best of Mike Shula and the Panthers last year because they didn't think to have a fullback blocking or to have anyone shipping on Von Miller, and he blew up the game. That was a chess match. Wade Phillips wins. I think for the most part, it's a chess match between defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator. And in the rare case of the Patriots, as much as Matt Patricia's the guy, and Belichick still is the one who's behind it all, the mastermind. So can you top Bill Belichick? And only one offensive coordinator has done it in the Super Bowl the last few years, and it's Kevin Gilbride. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it hasn't been with a light-up offense. It's been with the fact that the Giants have been able to hold the Patriots down.
You know, we haven't talked about, and we'll probably get into this a little bit more over the next 10 or so days, is the experience versus the youth Like, you look at all the teams that play well this year. You look at the postseason. And now you look at these two teams that are in the Super Bowl. There's not an overwhelming amount of young guys. You know, some of these young teams that are built, and you think, oh, yeah, these guys are
– the Atlanta defensive backs are all rookies and second-year guys.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, the core players yes. that have made plays for these teams. When you think about the Patriots, it's Tom LeGarrette Blount, mm-hmm. Martellus Bennett, even Deion Lewis.
Edelman,
guys that have been there offensively. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Sanu. Even mm-hmm. Taylor Gabriel has been in the league for quite some time. Like, there's something about experience that gets you there and kind of bodes you well. And I bring that up to say this, and I'll let you guys answer this because I'm not sure. Is there a chance that one of these teams has a player or two or three or maybe four or five that the bright lights are too big? I mean, we heard from Ben Roethlisberger, and he came out and said it. I feel like the moment was too big for some of my guys. Mm-hmm. It's the Super Bowl. Do you believe that the moment could be too big for anybody on this team?
I think I said that Atlanta defensive backfield. If the ish starts hitting the fan early and the Patriots get two quick touchdowns,
yes.
and you've got Keanu Neal and Poole and Jalen Collins and Ricardo Allen.
And then McDaniels really gets to open up the playbook.
And they're first and second year guys, and they're swimming in it. And yes, that's possible.
Look what happened to Pittsburgh, and they're not that young. I mean, they got lost.
And they also weren't yeah. under all the bright lights of the world for 2 weeks out of their mm-hmm. routine with a – even just halftime. Halftime's like, what, three times
minutes.
As long?
Right.
Like, they're not
minutes.
Used to that. Like, if we're talking about creatures of habit. You know that yeah. better than anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be a huge, huge difference maker. Tom Brady, 24 playoff wins.
And seven
Matt
different –
Ryan, three.
Seven different Super Bowl halftimes where he's like, all right, what's my routine in halftime?
All right.
So like I said, they take out the binder that says Super Bowl. They dust it off, blow off the dust, and they're like, all right, here's what we're doing today. Here's the itinerary where, right. you know, Dan Quinn has been there, but, you know, they're going to have to – the team hasn't.
Tom has played, I think, like 9 full seasons after the age of, like, 30 or something.
Who did
like
this?
Tom, Brady. I might be a little off, but it's after the age of 30, he's played 9 full –
He's 39.
Yeah.
NFL.
Well, he's also
yeah,
played 32 playoff games or 33, which is another 2 full
another
seasons.
It's crazy.
What I'm thinking about, too, especially when you talk about the inexperience, that secondary, and then the Atlanta offense, is there any chance that this Super Bowl is just a huge blowout? Either way, because we've been really spoiled over the last decade. The games have been good, with the exception, I think, of Denver-Seattle,
right.
which got out of hand fast. Mm. So many games have been so good. I remember being a kid. Every year the Super Bowl sucked. Those Cowboys ones, the Niners-Chargers one. It was always an awful game.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we're in this heyday of golden Super Bowls coming down to the last play and the 1 yard line. And with these offenses, I wonder if this one could get out of hand. I'm worried that it will, too.
Would you consider Packers-Falcons a blowout? I did.
Packers, Falcons,
yeah.
Of course.
And what about
last week?
What about Steelers,
yes,
Patriots?
Yes, both, absolutely.
So yeah,
we're in the middle of the worst playoff postseason ever, right? I mean, we got Cowboys, Packers was great, and pretty much every other game has been terrible. So
I don't think this is going to go that way. I feel like this is two evenly matched teams, and not from a skill set, because if you're going skill on paper, you might say that Atlanta has the advantage, but from a play calling standpoint, everything balancing itself out, this is an evenly matched game.
Okay, I want to talk about Chris Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
So, I, as a guy on a television show...
I really don't, so go on.
Yeah, Kay's not so fired up.
For 3 hours, for five days a week, for 3 hours, and we're talking about one game. We're through Tuesday, we've mentioned Hogan's name 20 times, mentioned the fact he played lacrosse 40 times. It's an interesting balance of emptying the clip, so to say, and emptying the bucket of minutia, and you know, you're looking for storylines, Super Bowl. And
right, so before you go down this, whatever, how many minutes you want to spend on him, just know that his stat line for the Super Bowl is probably going to be less than 50 yards. No?
Maybe. He was the key factor in the AFC Championship
game. That's fine. So is somebody different every week, right?
Jonas Gray.
This could be, exactly. This
it really
could be
is.
Somebody could
be,
else's
it could
game.
Be Floyd. It could be Floyd.
It could be Crickets. Chris Crickets Hogan.
I like that. No more 7-Eleven. But basically, my thing is with you guys, we're going to be the show that takes the piss out of the fact that he played lacrosse, but yet on other networks and on other shows, they're going to treat it really earnestly, like, hey, FYI, you don't know this, he actually played lacrosse. So,
yeah, how did the skills translate from lacrosse? Is it his cutting ability?
How do we balance being our usual smart-ass self and also, you know, actually previewing the game and knowing that the fan, actually, there might be someone out there who doesn't know that he played lacrosse.
Is there anybody who doesn't know that at this
point?
I don't know either. Well, look, we've talked about a couple things. One,
we are already so annoyed by the lacrosse thing, and this plays into the larger thing we do on the show, which is GMFB Bingo.
Which is such a great – the Thanksgiving one was such
basketball.
A hit.
The Thanksgiving was great. From our family to yours, a very happy
We've
Thanksgiving.
We've got
to
bring that back for Super Bowl.
100%. So the Chris Hogan played lacrosse is the ultimate fact. We get it. It's the new Antonio Gates played basketball. So we've thought about getting an actual lacrosse stick and putting it almost like a swear jar in the middle of our breakfast table. And if you make any passing reference whatsoever to lacrosse or Chris Hogan playing it, you got to chip in. Yeah. You know, today we had a couple of them. Eric Coleman would have chipped in.
Hey, you're in the hole, bud.
I'm in the hole big time. Yeah. I mean, I'm in the red. So, and I'm fine with that. I may just put in 100 and just be done for the Super Bowl. So we'll do that, and I think we'll talk about lacrosse
Julian
culture
Edelman
a little bit.
Julian Edelman was a quarterback. There's two on that team that are just glaring.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll talk about lax culture a little bit and lax bros and what they wear and what they do, because the lacrosse has never been bigger, I think, than it will be the next 2 weeks ever.
For
so
sure.
We'll do a little of that.
You know, Kay, you said something that he might have less than 50 yards, and there's a huge part of me that agrees that it's going to be somebody else.
But James then, White, yeah, 150 yards.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm not
Super Bowl MVP.
You never know.
28.
Amendola. Yeah, like you don't know. It could be a guy
he
that we haven't heard from.
He has not yet to make his clutch play of the year, and he's
I guarantee there's a trick play
postseason
with his name on it. But here's the thing, though. It's the ultimate chess match with McDaniels and the Patriots, because what if they're assuming, I know this is going to sound a little convoluted, what if they're assuming that the Falcons are assuming that Chris Hogan will be the guy again?
Sure.
So they're assuming that we're not going to use them as much. Guess what? We're going to use them even more.
Yeah. You know when you play rock, paper, scissors, game. I'm like, Nate's going to throw rock, so I got to throw paper. But he knows I think he's going to throw rock.
Exactly.
So I'm
that's
throw
what I'm
scissor,
saying.
Right.
So will Chris Hogan be in the game plan again? Like, could 2 weeks later, like, we're using him in trick plays, and he's running up the seam, and there's going to be plays designed to go to him?
It's like the double negative.
Double negative. Yes. Or will they do the Patriot way and just say, we're not going to use you? And we're going to use
them. Never think we throw rock two times in a row. Let's do it, because they know they're going to.
He's rock two times in a row. Right. That's it. I don't know. I literally don't know.
We should all pick one, like, obscure, not obscure, semi-obscure player who's
James
not Brady.
Devlin.
James Devlin. Like, I'm going to pick Matthew Slater is going to be the.
No, we
the
should.
Super Fantasy
we should.
Super Bowl?
Yeah, or, like, MVP. I'm talking we about should. To be MVP. Oh. So just take
for
a
both
flyer,
sides of the ball.
Both sides
of the ball. Brady's going to win
no
matter for, what.
No, because that's not necessarily
for the Falcons
true.
And the Patriots. We should do that.
You know, Larry Brown won the Super Bowl MVP, not Troy.
Deion Branch.
It can happen.
Deion Branch won, yeah.
Deion Branch won it with Brady. So we should pick one. We shall see who's right, because I like this. I your pick is
I'm looking
Mr.
forward
White.
To over the next 2 weeks being convinced that the Falcons could defeat the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, look, they put up 50 points, they'll win. If they put up 40 points, they'll win. If they put up 35 points, I think they can win. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. They average 33 points a game, and I don't think the Patriots necessarily.
And they held their opponents to 20.
Yeah, and the Patriots are a grind-em-out team. Patriots aren't a let's have a foot race. I mean, let's go inside a dome and just throw the ball around.
But the Falcons can grind it out, too.
The Falcons, that's something we haven't necessarily seen them play a tight game where they won. I mean, usually they win running away with these bombs.
I'm going to pick Martellus Bennett as my guy.
I like that.
It's not a bad pick. He had a 3-touchdown game this season.
I think Marty B is going to have a weird week at the media.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think everyone in the Belichick world.
KB, you brought it up.
From Chad Johnson to Randy Moss has played the company line and just gone straight and narrow. I think Marty B is a brand guy. I don't think he's selfish, but I think he knows that this is his moment as well. And I'd be interested to see if he plays it right down the middle this week.
I agree he is a brand guy, but he's not a guy that talks about
his brands
as often. I feel like he's just an extremely transparent and unapologetic individual.
Again, I don't want this to come off negatively.
No, it's not. No.
I am saying he is also so self-aware that he knows this is a huge moment for him personally and his family.
Peter, there's a lot of money to be made.
There's a lot of
weeks.
Money to be made to being the star of Super Bowl week.
How many commercials has Marshawn Lynch gotten from his performances in the media?
Incredible.
A lot. He's showing up on sitcoms.
That's a good point.
And that comes
that's a good point.
From not
his
talking.
I think about it that way.
That comes from
I think
him
the opposite.
Being under
I think
the
his persona,
lights.
His persona of
really?
I don't talk to the media. I'm quiet. I like Skittles.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. It's a good point. I think about
so
it.
So Marty
like that.
B is looking at this, coming into this week saying.
Were you at Media Day that day that Marshall Lynch?
Yeah, I talked to Michael Robinson as a translator.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Stupidest crap in my life. I'm sitting there. Everyone's telling me how smart Marshawn Lynch is. He won't even talk to me. Like, I can't tell you how smart he is. He's not talking to me. And that's kind of the deal.
Turned out he's pretty damn smart.
He's very smart.
Look, he's printing t-shirts from that stuff. I'm about that action, boss. He's got multiple
He's got a Beast Mode store in
mode
Oakland.
Store.
He did Sprite.
He did Skittles. He did
Conan. All that stuff. So I look at Gronk as last year as like the guy who like embraced it and became, you know, 2 years ago, he was the party guy and everyone loved it. And Yo Soy Gronk.
Summer of Gronk. Yeah.
Summer of Gronk. He wrote a book and the
Gronk
whole deal.
Is also an institutionalized Patriot. He's always been with the Patriots right out of college. Marty B is like a wild card. He's been with three different teams. He's Johnny come lately, and we see the things he keeps popping up with this season are always fun, irreverent, talking about his kids. I think he's going to promote himself.
The imagination creation. Like, again, hilarious quote, great guy.
Yes. Patriots want you to be straight and narrow. I've never heard Julian Edelman say anything. Amendola, they don't say like hilarious things. So all these cameras are going to be on Martellus Bennett. You're going to have all the late night shows. You're telling me he's going to resist and say, you know, let's do our job? No.
But you can't tell me he's going to say something that's inflammatory.
Not inflammatory. I don't think he's going to incite anything, but I think he might go outside the dotted lines of what Belichick probably expects.
Which is great. He might just be fun to listen to like he's been all season. Yeah. That's what all I think it's going
Chris
to be.
Chris Long's another one. He's a free spirit. He says what he wants. Again, I'm not saying anything negative. I just think there's going to be a lot of spotlight and attention.
Here's hoping.
To anybody on the Patriots who steps out of the line and says things that really are on their mind.
I agree. We've all been to the Super Bowl. Well, if we were to build like a survival kit or like a how to survive Super Bowl week guide, what would you guys throw on that list?
Right out the gate, as soon as you get there, you got to get waters and Gatorade. You got to just keep them in your room. And I'm not talking about the little ones. You go get the jugs and you keep those things right by your bed. If you're going to work throughout the day, you're going to need to hydrate. If you're going to party throughout the night, you're going to hydrate. So that's my first
hydrate.
I'm going to give you my commitment. Don't overcommit. So not that we're such popular people, but don't say I'm going to do this party in one night, because you will find yourself in a taxi cab for 2 hours in the middle of it, or you'll be texting someone and they'll be waiting for you. Yeah. And you're outside the club, and it might be different for Nate, Kay, and Kyle, but for Peter Schrager outside the club, it ain't the easiest thing to just come strolling right in. So pick one place, get there early, and just kind of get comfortable if you're going to go out at night. I don't think you need to commit to three different parties and see Taylor Swift at three different events.
Mm. I have not done a lot of partying in the Super Bowl. Where I've done my best hobnobbing is in hotel gyms, hotel fitness centers. Great you walk call. In there, that everybody's
is,
in there.
That is legitimately the opposite of my rule. That's oh, right. so funny.
No, they're all, I've worked out next to Jim Nance.
How about Peter Schrager in Denver?
Peter Schrager, I walk in, this guy's spinning. He's watching a spinning class on his phone, sweating like crazy.
You're lying.
Hey, Peter, you're right. I'll get you in a little bit. Like he's going to have a
AFC championship last year.
Tracy Wolfson's in the next room on the elliptical. They're all in the fitness center. That's where I do my networking.
My first thing is find a gym outside of the hotel. Outside of the area. I want privacy.
I'll
pay $50 to go to some like.
Then you get to work out next to Adam Schein then.
Adam Schein.
No, nobody's there. It's quiet. It's Kay Adams. Grid. It's absolutely. I don't want to be in the same.
What's up, Kay?
Working out next to any of you guys. You guys crazy? No way. That's like.
Who's better than you?
No. And that flight home is always such a disaster because there's like. Executives. You're so sick of everybody and all you do is see everybody that you were with all week or that you didn't want to see all week. They're always on your airplane.
You know what's funny?
I love everyone, by the way.
Those
every
flights home are
you.
Great. Yeah, Kay loves you, although she wants to work out next to all of you. I always have done the thing where we fly back either on Friday afternoon or on Sunday morning, and it's you as me in Rome walking to the airport. And it's kind of weird that you're not at the game and not being there. The same thing every time. You're walking towards your gate, and there's people arriving wearing Seahawks or Steelers gear.
Yeah.
And they always say the thing, same thing. Hey, Rome, you're going the wrong way, man. The game's this way. And he's got his head over his thing. I love getting the hell out of town before the game because it's like before the real ruckus starts and the traffic. Yeah. I'm so
key.
Excited.
So this year, I don't know if I'm spoiling it or not, but all three of you guys are going to be playing a role in that NFL Honors show. But I'm going to be working on the postgame. So I'm not doing it, but I'm going to be in the stands for NFL Honors watching and enjoying it. But you guys all have separate roles.
I think we will too. I think we're all sitting together at the show.
Are we? Okay. I thought you guys were working it as
part of the
broadcast.
I honestly don't know. Maybe you guys know more than me.
Maybe we should edit this out then.
No, but look, we know we'll be part of it. We just don't necessarily know what we're doing because we're
like,
12
so
days away.
I'm
yeah, I think
so
I'm on a red carpet.
Are we
going to
have
so
like
when people
a,
come up,
are we
I get
have
to
a meetup down there with people that watch the show maybe?
Like a tweet up sort of
like
know.
A meet and greet?
Why not?
I'm down with it.
I used to joke because Peter King at the Combine every year does a tweet up and he says, anyone come to the Sun Brewery, whatever it is.
I just feel like we love Mexican food. Why not?
Hundreds of football fans come and Pete Prisco United to say,
sure.
Hey, we're going to have a meetup at the bathroom in the Indianapolis airport. Who wants to meet and talk about this?
Airport bathrooms are the worst. I don't know what people are doing in there. I don't know what they ate on their flight.
There might be nothing more ego deflating than us saying, hey, let's have a tweet up and no one's showing. So maybe we avoid the tweet up.
Look, but maybe if they show up, it's a cool thing to do.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm into it.
Tweet up.
Yeah. If they don't show up, just act like it never happened. Just erase the tweet.
Erase the tweet.
Any other things we should add to that? Or are we done? Do we want to do a blind item, gentlemen?
I think Burleson said he was up to bat.
Oh, blind item?
Blind item means a celebrity story. You've been around them, you've witnessed them, hung out with them, and you don't ever reveal who it is because maybe it's not the most flattering story
something
for that
you saw.
Until we get off the air and start recording, and then we immediately find out who it was.
Okay, it's a blind item. It's kind of like an action movie, all right, with a little bit of drama involved. It's quite intense.
Okay.
If it's too much, then we can edit it out.
No, all right, I like it already. Look,
so I'm playing for one of the teams that I played for, and a friend of mine is a guy who, let's say, you know, the women love.
Okay.
And he loves the women. And
so it's a mutual love.
Yeah, yes, a mutual love. So he's in a relationship with this very beautiful girl. I mean, she was Hot Topic. And come to find out, she was already in a relationship with somebody that my teammate had knew. I'm talking about was friends with, I'm talking about personal friends with. Went to their wedding together.
Nate, I'm trying so hard not to start guessing names. I'm
okay,
just not
okay,
do
okay.
It
so if you can kind of get that dynamic right now.
Yeah. No, so Ontario they're already, Smith they're, works in the door. Yeah.
Come
so
on,
they're
now.
Already broken up.
Hasn't he been through enough?
They're period? Already broken up, but the guy finds out that, you know, my teammate is talking to his girl. And, you know, you can.
But it's not his girl. It's his friend's girl.
It's no. It's. Yeah, but it's his friend's ex-girl, ex-wife.
Okay,
cool.
Friend's
but
ex-wife.
He went to their wedding, though. So it's a little bit different. Like, this number one guy rule, don't date my girl. Definitely don't date my ex-wife. Definitely don't do with my ex-wife. So anyway, this whole time, he's friends with the guy, so he's doing this behind his back.
Okay, now it gets tricky. He didn't know about it.
Now it gets good.
Now they're out downtown. Partying.
No city named.
Downtown.
Right?
It's downtown. They're on Main
my
Street.
My teammate.
Just downtown on Maple Avenue.
They're on Main Street.
My teammate leaves the club, hops in the car, headed home after a long night of kicking it. Car pulls up behind him. He's like, what's this car doing? It's a little close to me, whatever. He hits the gas. Car hits the gas. He switched the lane. Car switched the lane. He gets off on the exit, get back on the freeway.
He's got a
car
tail.
Car does the same thing. He has a tail, just like a movie. Gets in a tunnel.
Narrows down some of the cities.
Narrows down some of the cities.
Was it called the Holland Tunnel?
The window of the car tailing him comes down. He doesn't see a face.
They're both driving like 50 miles per hour?
Yeah. Doesn't see a face.
Maybe faster.
Doesn't hear music. Doesn't hear voices. He sees a shiny object that shoots bullets. Yeah, it just got real.
Whoa. Okay.
It turns to a real serious situation. Now, nobody dies, but there were shots fired.
What?
Crazy.
Okay.
Long story short, it wasn't the husband. It wasn't the guy, but the husband's friend, somebody, one of his cohorts had kind of heard and was
cohorts.
Like,
yeah, one of his cohorts.
We're going to find out where this guy goes and we're going to send him a message. And the message was almost death. So I'll leave my blind Adam right there. Long story short, don't sleep with your friend.
That's unbelievable.
It's a crazy story.
Is that a good story?
So, Nate, someone's sleeping with somebody's friends. You're in a city. There's shots fired, and there's a limo.
It's an ASAP fable.
Think about it. So,
story that
crazy
because
a story is tried and true.
Yeah. Right? Is this a movie starring Vin Diesel and the Rock?
It sounds like it. It was.
What?
That's how we heard about it in the locker room, and I was like, "Are you serious? All that happened?" And then we go out after work is done, and you know you head home, you hop in your car, and you peek obviously at the vehicle, and you see like a few ting ting ting. Bullet holes, and you're like, I guess the story is true. And then a couple days later, the vehicle's gone. It's like, oh, I got to get the rims changed. Like, no, you don't. You got to get the bullet holes.
You got to get the girl out of your life.
Covered up. Yeah. Right. So.
So what happened? Did they end up happily ever after?
No.
I like a good love story.
Yeah. No. There was no happily ever after on that one. So that's a blind item. Kind of intense, but
yeah.
You put me on the spot.
And murder themed wedding. Note, we're going to leave it there.
It's intense.
Wow. We'll be down in Houston. If you guys are down there, headed down there, tweet us hashtag GMFB. We'd love for you guys to come to the show. That is a possible thing that you can do. So if you tweet us, we'll let you know how you do that. We'll see you. Say bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.